every move of God is but in a prayer meeting. So if you don't come out for prayer meeting, spend time in prayer, there is no point in expecting a move of God. Remember last Sunday I was talking about expecting a move of God. And today I'm going to continue that message in Acts chapter 2 about witnessing. Today my message is titled Witnessing a Move of God. Amen. Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Okay? Open Bible to Acts chapter 2. And I won't be reading any verses because pretty much my message is a summary of that chapter. But I want you to follow along as I share. Because we are talking about a move of God. And I will be talking more about the move of God in my future messages. And the entire book of Acts is one move of God after another. And as we are expecting a great move of God in our church, let's get ready for it. Amen. Now, last week in our message, we were talking about how you can get ready for a move of God, how you can prepare yourself to be part of a move of God. And we saw that they were waiting for this great move of God based on two things. Number one was the instructions of Jesus. Jesus told them, do not depart from the city, stay in the city of Jerusalem until you will receive what I have promised you in the past. And so the second aspect of that waiting was the promise of the Holy Spirit. Now, they did not know when the Holy Spirit would come, how it would come. They did not expect the tongues of fire because nobody had ever seen tongues of fire before that in a revival in the Old Testament Israel. Nobody had that experience. That was a completely new and completely unique experience that they witnessed when the move of God came. See, what happens when the Holy Spirit moves is that it does not fit the format that we suggest. Sometimes churches have made a format for how the Holy Spirit should move. The move of the Holy Spirit means we are giving the lordship to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Say lordship of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit has the lordship. Who makes the rules? Holy Spirit makes the rules. Amen. I am not the Lord anymore. I am not the leader anymore. I am stepping aside and allowing the Holy Spirit to be the Lord of this church. Amen. Hallelujah. Then who decides how he's going to function among us? Holy Spirit does. And that's exactly what happened in the upper room. Because even though Jesus told them, wait for this promise, you're going to receive power from on high. So the only thing they knew was that whatever happened, there will be a power dimension to our experience. That's the only thing that they knew. They did not know about tongues of fire. They did not know the Holy Spirit of God was going to come down with a huge sound. They had nothing because there was nothing to fall on. So even now, when we allow the Spirit of God to move in us, in the church, you know, that church is going to change. Amen. The church is going to change. So turn around and tell somebody we're going to change. Amen. And if you don't want to see this church changing, no, you are not going to be part of this move. Amen. Because the Holy Spirit is going to take the lordship and Holy Spirit is going to do some things. And some of the things that the Holy Spirit, you may be uncomfortable with. And you said, I never saw this before. Yeah, Holy Spirit can do new things. Amen. God can do a new thing among us. So we have to be ready for it. Send to somebody and say, be ready. Hallelujah. So last week at the end of my message, I showed you that there were five elements that was needed for them to witness the move of God. Now, first one was people were present. So you have to be in it if you want to be part of the move of God. You cannot stay home and be part of the move of God when Sunday Spirit, when the Holy Spirit moves here. Amen. You cannot be watching online and be part of the move. You can watch online. I mean, some of you cannot be here every Sunday. I understand. But what, you know, because when the move of God is an experience, and you cannot experience watching something on YouTube. Amen. You are to be here. So the all the 120 people who are willing to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit were told by Jesus, do not leave until you witness this move of the Spirit. And they had no idea how long they were going to wait. They just took Jesus at his word and they started waiting. 10 days later it came. I will talk more about that in a minute. And second thing that what we saw was that they were in one accord. There was unity among the 120 people. And it took time to come to that unity, because they knew once they received this power, they were going to be witnesses of Jesus, starting in Jerusalem, going all the way to the uttermost part of the world. Amen. So then the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. So we're going to talk about that. What is, today we hear about Pentecost all the time. So I want to take you to the background of that for a minute to make this meaningful. You can read this on the screen. Okay. Actually, Pentecost was a harvest festival. The Jewish people had three harvest times during the year. One was immediately after Passover, and that was the barley harvest. And the second one was the wheat harvest that followed it. So Pentecost was a harvest festival at the end of the wheat harvest. And that's the time they had to come into the presence of God with a loaf of bread, with fresh flour. I will talk about that a little more in a second. And then they had a third harvest festival, which was in the fall season. That was the time when they picked all the fruits, the olives, the pomegranates, and the apples and grapes, etc. they have in Israel. And at the end of that harvest season is when what they call Sukkot. You may have heard that word, Sukkot. The feast festival of ingathering, that they call it. And that's a time when they have to, the Yom Kippur is associated with that. Now, this is very interesting. One of the most important thing in the Jewish calendar is Passover. The year starts with Passover in their calendar. First month, 14th night is the Passover. And the Passover festival, we know that represent the release of Israel from the nation of Egypt, and how they came out from Egypt and they started the new identity. And in the New Testament, the Passover represents our salvation, because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. And that's where our new identity starts, just like for the nation of Israel. So that's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Bible tells us our Passover lamb also is slain. And who is our Passover lamb? Lord Jesus Christ. So we start. We have that Passover experience, right? Now, on the third day, and the third day after the Passover was their first harvest festival. First fruit festival. And on the three days after the Passover, they had to come into the presence of God with the first gleans of the barley harvest. And the farmers in Israel were not allowed to eat anything from the field until they brought this into the temple. And they would bring that into the temple. And you know why I'm saying all of this? All of this have a fulfillment in the New Testament. But the people in Israel didn't know that. They were doing this for 1500 years, but they had no idea. Wow, all of this represent, all of these are shadows of what will be accomplished in the life of Jesus later when he comes. See, even the apostles didn't know that. That's why I said they had no clue that the Holy Spirit was going to come down on the day of Pentecost. They're just waiting by faith. Are you still with me? Amen. So the Passover lamb is killed, and on the third day after the Passover, they have to come into the presence of God with the first fruit. And you want to know what happened in the prophetic calendar? 33 days after Jesus was crucified, on the third day, what happened? He resurrected, right? So later on, Paul, being a Jewish scholar, looking at all these things that is happening right in front of his eyes in his generation, and he realized, oh my God, this is all representation given to us, to our people. Amen. And this is the fulfillment that is taking place. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Apostle Paul says, Jesus Christ is the first fruits of resurrection. Hallelujah. He's the first fruit of resurrection. Amen. He's the first one to resurrect the way he resurrected. We know that he brought some people back to life during his earthly ministry, but that was more like resuscitation because they all died again later. Amen. But Jesus, when he resurrected, did he die again? No, he is still living and he will live forevermore. And that's why he's called the first fruit of resurrection. And that's the same thing. Then the harvest will come, right? After they bring the first fruit, the harvest will come. And that's what the Bible says. At the end of days, Jesus said, God will send his angels to do a harvest. And then we all going to be part of that harvest. You know what is the harvest? The resurrection day. Amen. Okay, that's not our topic today. Maybe during Easter time I will talk about that more. So then they had this wheat harvest. At the end of the wheat harvest, God said, okay, now you had your barley harvest and you had your wheat harvest. I want you to bring one bread made with the barley flour and one bread made with the wheat flour. All the men in Israel should come into the presence of God with the two loaves of bread, one made with the barley and one made with the wheat. So you know what was the spiritual significance of that? In the Bible, barley represent the Jews and the wheat represent the Gentiles. So long before Pentecost actually manifested, the disciples got to witness this move of God. God had already put a system in place and said, when you come for Pentecost, Pentecost is going to be different. It's going to be different. How is it different? Because when you celebrate Passover, this is only for you, your family. Only Jewish people are asked to celebrate Passover. Today we know we live in New York and a lot of Messianic Jews here. And so sometimes they invite us to go and see actually what the Seder celebration is. And there is nothing wrong with going and participating in that. But it was appointed only for the Jewish people. But God said Pentecost is going to be different. You're coming with two bread, one with barley and one with the wheat. One representing the Jewish people, one representing the Gentile world out there. And guess what? The priest in the temple have to take these two breads. Listen to me. And he is asked to put both of these breads together into the fire as an offering to the Lord. So what was the message that God was saying? After Pentecost, there will be only one group of people. Your thinking going to change. Amen. Until then, the Jewish people said, we are the people of God. All of you are far away from the commonwealth of Israel. Remember, Paul represents that in the book of Ephesians. You are far away. You are Gentiles. You had no role in the promises of God. You are far away from the commonwealth of Israel. You are not the people of God. But then Apostle Paul said, because Jesus came, and later after Pentecost came, and the church came on the scene, there's no more two people in the face of the earth. For God, as far as God is concerned, there's only one people. That's why I keep saying the Church of Jesus Christ is one. It took a while for even the church to understand that. We will find out about that as we continue this series. Because initially it was very difficult for them to understand. God wants Gentiles to be part of this. It took them a while to actually accept that. But they did eventually. Now today we know that Christianity is globally in every nation on the face of the earth. So Pentecost was going to be a different festival. But that's where the Jew and Gentile are going to become one. So listen, when we are in the natural, we think in the natural, our thinking is one way. Because in this country, for example, we knew that
You know, there's white churches, there are black churches, there are Indian churches, there are Spanish churches, Guyanese churches, Trinidadian churches. You know, in the natural, so many divisions. But you know, as far as God is concerned, He has only one people. Amen. Amen. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what is the color of your skin. It doesn't matter what is your nationality, where you were born, where you grew up. None of this matters to God, because all of us are one. All of us are one. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's why God sent the Holy Spirit into this world, to make us one again. Hallelujah. There's so much I can share from there, but I don't have time for it. And you want to know? The third harvest festival, as I told you, was in the fall season, what we call the Feast of the Tabernacles, Yom Kippur. There's so many names for it. Jewish people call it Sukkot. So many names for it. And there's one more thing I want to tell you. Okay, this is very interesting. In Passover, along with the Passover meat, they had to eat, which was known as unleavened bread. Unleavened bread means a bread with no yeast. No yeast. Okay, God specifically said you cannot have any yeast when you celebrate Passover. I have told you, my wife worked for many years. I mean, probably some of you knew, you never heard this, but you may have seen this. She worked for many, many years in Jewish nursing homes. And during the Passover season, the rabbi comes and he goes in the kitchen and literally light up a torch. And he had to burn the oven, all the cooking areas, all of that, literally with a torch. Why? To make sure there's not even an iota of yeast left behind in that kitchen. Because God said that you have to celebrate this this is an unleavened festival. So you cannot have any yeast in it. Listen to me. So, which is understandable. We can understand that. This is fine, you know, because Passover is all about Jesus. Amen. Who is our Passover lamb? Come on, be with me, folks. Who is our Passover lamb? Jesus. Amen. And is there any sin in Jesus? We know that yeast represents sin in the Bible. Is there any sin in Jesus? I mean, He's the only sinless person who ever lived, right? So when God instituted that there cannot be any yeast in Passover, we can understand that, because Passover is all about yeast. And the third festival, the fall season, what they call the ingathering, festival of the ingathering, that represents the resurrection of the saints. Amen. And when we resurrect again, and we're going to be without sin. So in the last festival also, you can see in the Old Testament, God says there cannot be any yeast in that festival. In other words, if you still have sin in your life, you're not going to be resurrected. Hello? I didn't make the rule. God made the rule. Okay? If you still have sin in your life, you're not going to be resurrected. All of us are looking forward to that day of resurrection. And what the Bible says is we will see Him as He is, because we shall be like Him. Amen? So if Jesus is a person without sin, only the people who are taken care of the sin issue in their life can be part of the resurrection to meet with Jesus. Are you with me? But you want to know the strange thing? When I was studying about Pentecost, I found out that God allowed yeast in Pentecost. God allowed yeast in Pentecost. Only in Pentecost festival. You know why? Because God knew, when I call out people from the Jewish background and when I call out people from the Gentile background, they are not perfect. They are coming into my presence with sin in their life. And then I'm going to take care of that. Amen? So that's why yeast was allowed in Pentecost. So Pentecost is a very unique festival, okay? So I'm just going to run through this to finish on time, because at the end of this, we're going to pray for all of you. So the people came and they waited, not knowing that this is going to happen on the day of Pentecost, but they're waiting by faith. And then the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2 and verse 1 tells us that when the day of Pentecost had fully come, that means that it didn't come one day before Pentecost or one day after Pentecost, exactly on the day of Pentecost, this happened.
Because this was pre-planned by God a long time ago. Amen. So what did they do? They waited for 10 days after the ascension of Jesus, 50 days after the day of the resurrection of Jesus. Now, I need to say one more thing before I move forward. Number one, Pentecost simply means the 50th day. Now, we say, based on what happened in Acts chapter 2, Pentecost means 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus, which is what happened historically. But the Jewish people didn't say that. Don't accept that. You know that. They still don't accept Jesus as their Messiah, except the people who have become Messianic. So their explanation is that we gave this day the name Pentecost. We didn't give them. They gave the name Pentecost because it's the 50th day after Moses received the law from God. So it's the fifth for them. It is the 50th day of the law after Moses received the law from God. But historically, we also know that this was exactly 50 days after Jesus resurrected. Remember last Sunday, we saw for 40 days, he was in this world, showing them, teaching them, etc. And then he went back to his Father. And then the disciples waited for 10 more days, which makes it 50 a day. And what is the word for 50th day in the Greek language? Pentateuch is, Penta is actually a Greek word, not a Hebrew word. So what is the word for a 50th day? How did we call it Pentecost festival? How do we call it Pentecost experience? Because it happened exactly 50 days after Jesus resurrected. Now, I like the way Acts chapter 2 says this. When the day of Pentecost was fully come. And I told you, it means that it didn't happen one day before that day or one day after that day, exactly on the day of Pentecost has happened, just as God wanted it. Amen. So who is in control of everything? God is in control of everything. Amen. So now the Holy Spirit is coming down, right? Now we can see, can I quickly show you four things? Go to the before this. Okay. See, there are four things I mentioned there. There's a process, right? When we receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, there is a process. Number one, there's a preparation time. There's a preparation time because Holy Spirit is holy. God is holy. And Holy Spirit is the third person of Godhead. And Holy Spirit is holy. Because he is holy, he cannot dwell in an unholy place. Remember some time ago? Actually, a couple of weeks ago, again, I spoke about a dwelling place for God, a message titled A Dwelling Place for God. It's on our website if you want to listen to it. You were not here. And one of the things that God demanded was that the place where I come down must be holy. Amen. So as we wait for a fresh move of God in this church, and I want every single person in this church, people who are here today and people who are not here today, to be part of that move of God. So you know what is the first requirement from God towards us? Make yourself holy. But can you make yourself holy? No, you cannot. There's only one thing that can make us holy. What is that thing? What can wash me? White as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. So when you get ready for this move of God, what do? You come before Lord and say, Lord Jesus, I want to be part of this move of God that is coming to my church. I can sense it, oh God. We can see the presence of God increasing in this church. Even in our worship time, we can feel the presence of God here. And we can say, Lord, I know you are about to burst out in this place. And I want to be part of it, oh God. I want to be part of that move. So cleanse me. Cleanse me. So start praying. Cleanse me. What can wash you white as snow? The blood of Jesus can wash away every stain of sin from their life. from your life. Amen. So the first thing that we notice is that there was a preparation time. And the second thing is we notice is that they had a waiting time, because they had no control on this thing. It was completely under the guidance of God. So the only thing they could do was wait for the time of God. Amen. So turn to somebody and say, wait for the time of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, the third thing we notice is that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, it happened. That means there's an appointed time when you will be visited by the Holy Spirit. You will be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And there is absolutely no doubt in my mind it can happen in your life. You know why? Because Jesus said this is a promise for everyone. What did Jesus say about the Holy Spirit? The promise of the Father is for you and your children and whomsoever my Father will call into the kingdom. So if you are called to be part of the kingdom, you are part of the promise too. Amen. So turn to somebody and say, I'm ready to receive the promise. Amen. How did Jesus call Holy Spirit? The promise of the Father. Amen. Because that's the way Jesus introduced it. And so this is a promise. Amen. And this is a promise for you. And you are part of this promise. You are part of this promise. Turn to somebody and say, you are part of this promise. There is no reason for you to miss out on it. There is no reason for you to stand on the sidelines when God moves in a church. Because this is a promise for every one of us. We just have to get ready to receive Christendom. Because a lot of Christians do not believe that you have to speak in tongues when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Most of the mainline denominations do not believe in that. They say the tongue stopped at the end of the first century, and so you don't have to speak in tongues today. Now, a couple of years ago when I was doing my doctoral studies, the book on systematic theology that I had to study was written by a Baptist scholar, very scholarly man. And when I was studying that book and studying about Holy Spirit, that man doesn't even believe that 120 people in the upper room spoke in tongues. He said his position is that Jesus promised that only to his 12 disciples. So only the 12 disciples spoke in tongues. I'm going to show how he is wrong in a couple of minutes, okay? So he said, no, only the apostles spoke in tongues. Nobody else ever spoke in tongues in the history of church, which is baloney. Okay, so I had to write a paper and I was very hesitant. Maybe they will give me an F when I write this paper. But I defended my position very well through scriptures and actually got an A for my paper, and they said, oh, you have defended your position very well. And even though we don't believe it, you have the right to continue to believe this and preach this, which I will believe and preach until I die. Yeah. Amen. Because Jesus said this is a promise for everyone. Amen. Hallelujah. And so I believe, listen to me, this is very important. Some of you may have the same thinking, so please listen to me. I believe everyone is sealed with the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. Everyone is sealed with the Holy Spirit the moment you are saved. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and you become a child of God, two things happens to you. One, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the second thing is you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And both of that represent the day of resurrection actually. So if you are a child of God, you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are destined to be part of the first resurrection, what we read in the book of Revelation. I don't have time to explain more. That is true. We do not deny that. I will never deny that any child of God, anywhere on the face of the earth, do not have Holy Spirit. They do have Holy Spirit. But that doesn't mean that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? I didn't think about this before because I got distracted a little bit, wondering, do we have oil here to pray for people? So I ran to the grocery store to get oil. So I forgot this. Suppose I have a pitcher here, right? In my hand. And I am pouring out water into that. So as soon as the first drop of water falls in that pitcher has water. Right? Right? Okay, it's too late to make this a show and tell, as Kid would call it. As soon as the first drop of water falls into that pitcher, there is water in that pitcher. Nobody can deny there is water in that pitcher. But is that pitcher filled with water? So to say that pitcher is filled with water, what do you have to do? You have to keep pouring water into it, pour water into it, water in, and to what point? Come on, tell me. Up to the point it overflows. When it begins to overflow, you can say that this is filled with water. Amen? Now, you know that's exactly what happens when you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you begin to speak in tongues? Because the Holy Spirit is there, but God is pouring more and more and more as you wait upon the Lord and as you pray and as you seek God and say, Lord, I want to have this infilling of the Holy Spirit, and you begin to desire for it and you begin to ask for it. What did Jesus say? Ask and it shall be. What did Jesus say? Ask and it shall be.
Amen.
Come on, come on. Anybody alive in this church? What did Jesus say? Ask and it shall be.
Amen.
Amen. So if you ask for the Holy Spirit, what will you get? That's when Jesus said, if any of you fathers have children and the children come and ask you for egg, and would you give them a rock in its place? And if the children come and ask for fish, would you give them a snake? No. So if you ask for Holy Spirit, what will you get? Hallelujah. And God will pour out. Keep pouring, keep pouring, keep pouring into your life until, you know, we have a limitation. This vessel has a limitation. And when this vessel is filled, it begins to overflow as a language that God gives. We don't give that language to anybody. Okay? I know there has been abuses in Pentecostal circles. Some of you know that. Okay, in some countries when you travel, I have seen, and I will stop people, stop ministers, because I have seen ministers go into somebody's ear as they are praying for Holy Spirit, infilling of the Holy Spirit, and they will go into the ears of people and say, repeat after me, and then say something. That's not Holy Spirit. That's not Holy Spirit. Who gave you permission to play with the Holy Spirit? How dare you play with Holy Spirit? What did Jesus say? Everything that you say against me will be forgiven. But if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, it will never be forgiven. So what do you have to do? You just have to wait and pray. 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 These disciples had to wait and pray for 10 days before they were filled with the Holy Spirit. You want to know something? I started praying for the Holy infilling of the Holy Spirit when I was about 14. And I was 21 when I was finally filled with the Holy Spirit. Because being a teenager, you know, during a revival, you get very close to God. After the revival, you go and start playing with your friends and you don't think about these things anymore. Doesn't mean that we will live a sinful life. But it was not important until the next revival came. So finally, I realized one day, and I made a decision one day that I'm not going to get up from here until I am filled with the Holy Spirit. And just sat in the presence of God. Went to my local church. A couple of people joined with me. And I just stayed there on summer holidays. You know, and I don't remember how many days I had to stay there. Finally, I was filled with the Holy Spirit because I had an earnest desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. So, listen to me. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, what will happen? Things will change. God will cleanse you. God will ask you. God will bring to remembrance a lot of things, maybe simple things. You didn't even think that was important. We say a story about my mother-in-law who passed on to eternity a couple of years ago. You know, when she was praying for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, she was a Bible college student. And all the other students in the Bible college got filled with the Holy Spirit. She alone was left. And she couldn't believe, how come I am a good person? How come I am not filled with me? I am not receiving this gift. So she was very, very worried. And she started taking extra time and praying to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then all of a sudden, a letter showed up in front of her mind. A letter. Just a letter. You know, when I say letter, not ABCD, you know, a letter that we mail. She saw the picture of a letter. And she started wondering, what is this letter? Why is God showing me this? And then the Holy Spirit reminded her that years ago, you know, her oldest sister was born before she was born. I mean, married before she was born. So that's a, you know, age difference. And her daughter was going to get married. And according to the Indian custom, they had to come to your house and invite you for a wedding. Otherwise, not a real invitation. There was no e-invite at that time. And you couldn't even just send a card of invitation. You had to go to their home and invite. And these people lived very far away from where my mother-in-law was. So they didn't come. They only sent a wedding invitation card. And my mother-in-law was incensed. So she wrote a letter, you know, to her oldest sister, who is old enough to be her mother. Incensed letter, accusing her of not respecting her, not treating her, blah, 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 blah. And here she is praying for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and this letter shows up before her mind. And God said, you want Holy Spirit? You make a promise to write a letter of apology to your older sister. And she said, Lord, I made a mistake. Tomorrow itself, I send a letter of apology to my older sister. And guess what? Within minutes, she was filled with the Holy Spirit after confessing that. So if you are for many years and you cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit and there is some stumbling block in your life, it may be a simple thing. It can be a simple thing. Nothing heavy. Maybe it's somebody you haven't talked to in your family for years. And maybe it's a coworker you cannot stand. You still have to go to the same office, unfortunately. But you cannot stand that person. And in your mind, even though you don't say anything publicly, in your mind, you hate that person. You cannot stand that person. Guess what? God will say, sorry, I cannot fill you with the Holy Spirit until you take care of this. So I'm going to request you right here, right now, before I even finish my message. If there is anyone in your life you need to forgive, choose to forgive. Anyone. It doesn't matter who it is. You need to forgive, choose to forgive, so that God can move in your life. Not for me, not for this church, but do not allow that to stop the move of God in your life. Choose to forgive. Think of somebody you need to forgive. And say, Lord, based on your word, I choose to forgive this person. Because I don't want to be left out. When the move of God comes, I want to be part of it. Help me to forgive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our time is running. So let me show you what happened when they were able to finally witness this move of God. You can see a number of things. Go to the next slide, please. Number of things you can see. One, number one, first thing was there was a sound from heaven, the Bible says. There was a sound from heaven. Then there was a wind that was blowing in the room. And what really excites me is that it says it filled the whole room. It filled the whole house. The Bible says it filled the whole house. You know what does that mean? That means if there are 120 people waiting for the infilling of the Holy Spirit in that upper room, God did not stop with the 119th person. God made sure all 120 were filled with the Holy Spirit. As the pastor of this church, that is my desire. Because I know the move of God is coming. I know the move of God is here. I know God is about to move in a magnificent way in this church. But I have a desire. As the pastor of this church, I want the Holy Spirit to fill this whole house. Fill this whole house. I don't want anyone to be left behind. I don't want our children to be left behind. I don't want our youth to be left behind. I don't want any brothers to be left behind. I don't want any sisters to be left behind. I want everyone to be part of this move of God. Hallelujah. And then they started having experience. As soon as the presence of God filled that whole room, they started having experiences, divine experiences. First thing, a tongue of fire, this ball of fire that came down from heaven, split into pieces, and one piece came and dwelt on the head of each one, landed on the head of each person waiting for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. That was the first divine experience that they had. And the second thing was that they received that power that Jesus promised. You shall receive power. And the power overtook them. And the third divine experience was they all started speaking in the language that God gave them. Every one of them spoke in tongues as a result of it. Amen. So that's what is going to happen when the Spirit of God moves in this place. When God sends a move, you will have divine experiences. You will not be just a witness. Hallelujah. This will not be a church where half the people are worshiping and half the people are watching. No. No. This will not be a church where half the people are moving in the power of the Holy Spirit and the other half is watching and taking photos. No, this will not be a church like that. This will be a church. Every one of us will be part of the move of God. And that's what we want. And that's what God is getting ready for. Let's ready to get ready to receive it. Are you ready? Are you ready to witness a move of God? Are you ready to receive a move of God in this place? Stand up with me. All over this place. Hallelujah. I'm going to invite every person who is not filled with the Holy Spirit, but want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to come to the front. We're going to anoint you with oil and pray for you. Amen. And the worship team will come. Hallelujah. And all the ministers, step up, please. Amen. Everyone who wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit, come, come, come. Especially when I say, you know, remember, this is based on my message today. If you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, step up to the front. Step up to the front. We're going to pray for you. Amen. We want to see you filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, come on, come on, come on. I know there are other people in this audience. Nobody should stay back. Amen. Come out, come out, come out. Come out believing in God. Come out trusting God. Come out expecting God to fulfill His promise. Amen. He will fulfill His promise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want the rest of you to start worshiping God in spirit. If you're already filled with the Holy Spirit, start worshiping God in spirit. Every eyes closed. Every eyes closed. Every eyes closed. Father, we are getting ready for a fresh move of you in our church. This is a new season that you have given to this church by your grace. And we will not miss this season. We don't want anyone in this church to miss this season. We want every single person in this church to be part of this, Father. God, instill a desire in them. Instill a desire in them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Give them a hunger and thirst for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Father, change their thinking. Change their attitude of God. Give them a willingness. Give them a willingness to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I know there are people standing in there, still sitting in their seats. Amen. If you need, come out, come out, come out, come out to the front. Let somebody pray for you today. Amen. Let the ministers pray for you today. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to see you being filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Father, 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 have your way. Have your way in this church, O Lord. Take this church forward, O God. Change this church, O God. Change the thinking of the people in this church, O Father. Change our attitude, O Father. Fill us, fill us, fill us. Fill us to the overflowing level. Fill us to the overflowing level. Fill us to the overflowing level, O God. Let your promise be fulfilled. Let your promise be fulfilled. Let your promise be fulfilled. Let your promise be fulfilled all across the sanctuary, all across the sanctuary. Come on, start worshiping God in spirit. Start worshiping God in spirit. If you're already filled with the Holy Spirit, come on, start worshiping God in spirit. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, step out to the front. Amen. Hallelujah. And get ready to receive it. Get ready to receive it. God is here. God is here. God is moving in this place. God is moving in this place. Come on, ministers. Pray with the people. Pray with the people. Anoint people with oil and start praying with the people.
Because the Spirit was moving.